The words sanctify, sanctification, saint, and holy are all related to one another, and they all have to do with being set apart by God for a special purpose. Now, they can be used in regard to any special purpose, and they can be used with regard to one whether or not the one set apart is aware that they have been set apart or why. Thus, in Isaiah chapter 13, when God says he is going to send the Babylonian army to destroy Jerusalem, he calls the Babylonian army his saints, for they were his special means of bringing judgment on unfaithful Jerusalem. Of course, the Babylonian army, who didn't even believe in God, was completely unaware of their status, the significance of what they were doing, or how they were being used by God for his purposes. Nor did they intend to do anything particularly noble, let alone God-honoring. But that picture of being sanctified, of being saints, is the polar opposite of what it means for those in Christ to be saints. For God expressly tells us that we are his saints. We are his special ones. We are his set apart ones. And the purpose for which he has set us apart is the highest purpose possible and the greatest possible privilege. And that is to walk in the footsteps of God, emulating his character, emulating and embracing his loves, his hates, his purposes, and his means and ways. When God sets us apart in Christ, it is a restoration of our original position and calling as images of God. It's a restoration of our calling to reflect God, both in our capacities and in our character, words, thoughts, and actions, which is really just another way of talking about us as the sons and daughters of God, which is what we were created to be. Now, God tells us that in Christ, he is restoring us to what we lost and calling us back to our royal destiny of being his children, reflecting him. So we see that being God's image has a couple of different aspects to it. One has to do with having capacities necessary to reflect God in unique ways. Capacities such as reason, a sense of eternity, a focus on meaning and worth, love, personal relationships, all on a unique scale. And that's usually the way you hear people talk about the image of God, these unique capacities that we as humans share. But there's a second very important aspect of being God's image that we often do not talk about, and that carries the concept of imitation. That is, actively mimicking God in his actions, in his words, mimicking his heart, mimicking his character, and mimicking his ways. When you look in the mirror, your image does exactly what you do. And so your image is imaging you, it's mimicking you, and that's a very vital part of being God's image for us. So, in the fall, mankind lost part of what it means to be the image of God while retaining the other part. We became functionally a broken image, a shattered image, or a partial image. We retained the capacities that God had created us with: reason, a sense of eternity, the yearning for love and personal relationships. But we lost our active imitation of God, are doing what he does and mimicking his character, his heart, and his ways. For in the fall, you see, Adam and Eve imitated not God, but Satan. They imitated him in his independence, in his deluded self-sufficiency and autonomy from God. And ever since, the human race has had the unique capacities of God's image. And so the Bible, in that sense, speaks of all humans as being in the image of God, even when we are fallen. But the human race has radically departed from imitating God, and thus every manner of evil and heartache has resulted. It is this second part of being God's image that we are restored to and called to in Christ. In Christ, we have been adopted back into God's family. We are His children once again, and we are no longer His enemies. Paul sums this up in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And so as the children of God, we share God's Spirit, and we are called to imitate Him step by step. So Jesus calls us again, He calls us again and again in the Sermon on the Mount to think of God as our Father and to speak to God and pray to God as our Father and for us to be like God who is our Father, to no longer walk as we did before and as the bulk of mankind has done for thousands of years, but to begin more and more each day to imitate our Father who is in heaven. All of this is why the Bible speaks of us as being restored in God's image in Christ. It also speaks of us as being restored or remade in Christ's image, because Christ is the true man. He is the true one who is the true image of the Father, reflects His characters in every way. And so when sanctification, the putting off of the old you and the putting on of the new you in Christ, when it becomes a chore, when it becomes a slog, which it always does for all of us in one way or another, when it becomes a belly crawl and you're moving inch by inch, remember what is going on. God has chosen you. God has called you to Himself by name. He has restored you to His family. He has said, come and be my son again. He has said, come and be my daughter again. Be like me. Inherit and enjoy everything I have. This is what God is calling you to in Christ. It's what being a saint means. It's what sanctification is. It's the greatest privilege there is, so embrace it with your whole heart. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.